I am praying and have been praying that there would just be more of this. What we need is God, not merely knowledge about him, but personal interaction. Santo, good to see you. I have been praying for you. Antonio, so good to see you. Oh, I didn't see you there, Monique. I was just seeing him. Blessings. Because, you know, what Jesus invites us to is not some religious observance, but interaction with him. And if we don't get that right, nothing else that goes on in our lives either makes sense or will occur the way that God wants to. So for some of you, if you didn't grow up in a tradition where, you know, people got prayed for or God was speaking to the congregation about specific places and issues where he needs to work, then read the New Testament. God is a speaking God. He is active, and he wants to minister to us. He has been speaking, I would say, very clearly through the series we did on the prodigal God, the prodigal sons, both of them. And one of the challenges we've been addressing is this issue that Annette mentioned, is just that oftentimes we know a lot about God's love, but we don't always experience it for various different reasons, and God is wanting to break through, like he did just a few minutes ago, for individuals, so that what was occurring was not merely knowledge about, but experiencing and relating to and connecting with the God of the universe. And that's what he wants. So that is, you know, the direction that God put on my heart this morning, to just come back to this point that God wants you to know him. Knowing God is where eternal life comes from. You know, this is eternal life, to know him. In different ways for the last number of weeks, God is wanting us to receive his love, but not for the purpose of just marinating and splashing in it and enjoying it, which we can, all of those things, but it is recognizing that we are to become the love of God. And that we become the love of God by receiving it, dying to self, and living to others. The whole gospel keeps coming back to those points. And if we leave any one of those points out, there are some things that God may do, but maybe not the way that we want. And the next couple of weeks, I want to just deal with some ways that God wants to move in our culture, but we have limited him as believers. Let me just throw this metaphor out to you. I have not been on TV or the internet much, but I have seen a few pictures of Houston. The role is reversed. It's not Houston we have a problem. Houston has a problem with flooding. And just as we were up here, my sense is that the culture that God has called us to, when all we have is knowledge about God, and we attempt to reach out and minister to our culture, we are like the hurricane rains that flood Houston. And instead of bringing life, it brings death. It brings destruction. It brings discouragement. It takes away hope. Just look at all of the things that people are feeling as they're battling the flood. And can I just say that many people feel that way when they hear Christians talk about God. And it's because we talk about what we've heard or read, but we're not sharing who we know and who we have experienced. Anytime you have large quantities of water, it becomes destructive if it's not within its banks. And what I would say is the banks that God wants our life and ministry to kind of flow within is, yes, we look at how he's revealed himself in his word, but we have to know and experience him in a personal way. If we don't, how we connect to people is not positive. It tends to be negative. And in their perspective, it tends to be destructive. So that was just kind of a picture. Maybe I'll come back to it next week, because what you have to share is what not you know about, but what you've experienced. It's a testimony. That's what brings hope. Not that I read that God used to do this, but this is what God did for me today or this past week, that God is continually at work in our lives. So I just want to put that out because the first question that I had in this morning's message was, what does Christian love mean in a world that largely rejects it? They reject it because what they're seeing and feeling is not who Jesus is necessarily, but really, I think, a sense when we limit what's going on to knowledge of God, that knowledge about God. And God needs to be experienced so that God can be made visible in you and in me. We can think we are really loving people, but the question is, do the people that know you and connect with you, would they echo that sentiment? And so we're just going to walk through some things that God is speaking about, knowing him, loving, receiving his love, so that his love, which is his person, gets manifested to the world. It becomes visible. So I'm going to take you just through some passages of scripture for us to reflect on. Then at the end of the service, I have some questions for you to take homework with you so that we can spur one another on to good works, but only the good works that God has prepared for us from the foundation of the world. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If not, take one from the pew in front of you. And these are super, super familiar words. Who knows? They might even show up in Craig's wedding on Thursday. Or is it Friday? I think it's Friday, the rehearsal. Okay. So, let's just read it first. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Another translation says, easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is who you are in Christ. Amen? Is that true or false? If the Spirit of the living God is in you, Christ in you is the hope of glory. If Christ is in us, we look at this, and by this we'll, people know that you're my disciples by love. This is what people, if they see this, they begin to see God with skin on. And so this really becomes a template to ask, both am I experiencing the love of God in such a way that this begins to manifest in my life? Because one of the things that I just have to remind myself is that this is all true about how God loves me. God has been patient, kind. He obviously is not envious of me. Are you kidding? Boast. He is not arrogant. He is not rude. He's not easily angered. He's not irritable. He's not resentful. He rejoices in truth. His love has borne my stubbornness, my sinfulness, my selfishness, my willfulness. He has believed in me when I don't even believe in myself. He has endured everything for me, and his love is never going to end. And if that's how he loves me, and that's what, if I choose to receive this on a daily basis, and I do want him to relate to me this way, I let him fill me. And then this is what God pours out of me. If I don't recognize this and receive God's kindness, his patience, his graciousness, his love, his endurance, his perseverance, and all of those things in my life, I have nothing to give somebody else. I can know about God's love. I can know about God's perseverance. I can know about his forgiveness. But do people experience it from me? Is it a story that I'm telling or a reality that I'm living? Because if it's a reality that I'm living, I am being changed in the presence of God, and God's presence goes forth from me. And this is what God wants to do. I want all of this from God, and therefore, if Christ is to be manifested and God's love is going to be transformative rather than destructive, the way that it has become because of many Christians talking about the love of God but not experiencing it and sharing it. That has become destructive. So, I mean, you read that. That is really who you are. Now, you might say, I saw some of you. You're just kind of like, yeah, that love passage does not describe me. I would put my hand up. I winced. I wince every time I read some of these words. Irritable.
Amen.
Papa doesn't get his coffee and sleep. It can be an ugly world. Okay, so they can say amen. My wife could say amen to that. There are times where you read this, and as we were talking about earlier, it would be easy to become discouraged. But the point is not to be discouraged, but to receive this on a daily basis. This is why we need to be at God's Word, to be reminded what's true, what reality is, and this is who I am because Christ lives in me. And if this is true of me, he will flow from me as I allow him. I freely receive so that I can freely give. I can't give what I don't receive. And once again, this sounds so simple. We're just not doing it in the United States like God wants to do, but he anxiously wants to. We've been talking about learning to love by surrendering to and embracing God's love, because that's what we were made to do. I have to surrender to be able to receive God's love. C.S. Lewis has this great line that God wants to pour and dump all these treasures and riches into my hands, but my hands are full of muck and mud. I'm playing in mud puddles when he wants to take me to a holiday on the beach. Okay? So our hands have, we, part of surrendering is we raise our hands. We let go. So I need to come to God first and surrender myself and anything that I'm holding so that I'm in a posture to receive. One of the testimonies that actually came up in two or three different ways is that, it was Rose. She just said the picture was she saw God opening his arms. You know, he was extending his love, but that love has got to be received. And sometimes we don't receive it. We keep it at arm's length. For whatever reason, maybe because the evil one, we're listening to him and we feel conviction for some way that we blew it. And we just admitted that all of us fall short of this. But that's why the work of God in us is from glory to glory. God takes us from where we're at. And throughout our lives, as we choose to follow him and receive his love and his grace and his mercy, it's there that we are transformed. So no, I'm not yet who I was made to be, but I'm not who I was either. I am in process, and that is the testimony that I have. And that's the testimony that you have as well. This embracing God's love is what you were made to do, but you can't do it with full hands. So one of the things you might just want to ask yourself is, what is it that I'm just going to say, I think all of us have to surrender. And I think all of us have to surrender daily. This is part of dying to self. And sometimes we can try to come and die to ourselves. Can I just say sometimes we keep things in our hands while we're trying to die to self? All right? And so in a sense, we're not really dying. We're just kind of, you know, almost going through the motions. I mean, our hearts, I think, are sincere. But if I'm hanging on to stuff, anger, unforgiveness, if I'm hanging on to that stuff, I'm not really dying to self. I'm hanging on because I want control. Amen? I mean, this is where we're at. So, really this receiving God's love is at the core of what makes us human. It's where we actually bear the image of God. We're made in God's image, but sometimes there's so much stuff that we've either put on ourselves or let the world put on us that we don't feel like we're bearers of God's image. And the world often, truthfully, doesn't see his image in us either. You know, if you looked at how the world views when they hear the word Christian, it's not a positive thing anymore. And in the last 30 years, it's plummeted. In all of those countries where the gospel has had its longest impact, which is interesting. Maybe we'll come back to that. But the ability, desire, and willingness to care passionately about God and others is the goal towards which we're journeying with Jesus. It's as I receive from God that I can love others. If I don't receive from God, I have nothing to give. Love overflows from God and is therefore the basis of how and why the universe is made. Why does the universe exist? Because God loves. He was so overflowing, it blew up so that he could share his love with us, his image bearers. Everything about the universe flows out of that aspect of God. And therefore, that reminds us that love is not something that we have to conjure up. You know, some of you will say, and some people that know you will say with you, that I don't feel very loving. Could any of you say that today? There are days we don't. Maybe you got up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're going through some kind of trial and just like, I don't necessarily feel the love of God and I don't feel necessarily loving. The truth is, though, I don't have to conjure up love because God's love is the basis of who I am and the world that he's put me in. And the question is, will I receive his truth into my life and walk in what is true, not what I feel? Because that's where freedom is, walking in truth. The truth will set you free. So if I don't believe the truth, I will live in bondage. I mean, this is just where it's at. So love flows from God. It's the basis of how and why the universe is made. We don't have to conjure it up. And that's the good news. Because God is love, and because human beings are made in God's image, love is who we are. Not just something we do better. There's a writer by the name of Benner that said that. Let me read that again. Because God is love, and because humans are made in God's image, love is who we are. Not just something that we do. So, do you believe that? Yeah. Now, can I just say, as a teacher, this was a really weak response. If you don't believe this about you, how are you going to share that with the world? If you supposedly have this great gospel news, good news, and you're not sure about it yourself, as the old adage, you're not smoking what you're selling. Amen? This is one of the things that, why should we be jumping up and down all the time? Because this is actually who I am. I am the love of God with skin on. Okay? Not who I used to be, but that's who I was made to be and who God is bringing me back to if I will receive this love and let it transform me. Because we're supposed to morph, we're supposed to be transformed, but it's all contingent on whether we receive the power, the energy, the grace that does the transforming work. Just mere head knowledge saying, yes, I know that I'm loved, I know that the Spirit of God dwells in me, but do you recognize that you are, if that's true, you are You are love with skin on. You are love. That's one of the things that we've been listening to with the Dan Moeller tapes, right? Because he's talking about not conjuring up. It's just, I am loved. If I walk and I live and I breathe and move in that reality that I am loved and I'm forgiven and I am whole and my past is in the past. And that even when I fail, that's not who I am. And that God, you're empowering me to become somebody that I can't even see yet. But I am loved and I am therefore made to be love for the world. Amen? Some of you are still not sure. If we don't get this right, we have nothing to give the world. We don't have the gospel. Because the gospel is about the love of God. And the love of God is only made manifest in us. So, we need to come back. Love is who you are. Love is who I am, whether I feel like it or not. You know, one of the ideas that to help us get this is this idea that as we follow Jesus, we are to live as he would if he kind of took over our bodies for a day. Now, some of you, did you guys ever see that great theological movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Okay, you guys are with me. You guys are literate for about 30 years ago. But the whole point is that this alien race could, if you fell asleep, it takes over you and it takes over your body. And it becomes a physical replication of you, but it's a different person on the inside. So if this were to happen and you're asleep and Jesus comes in and your old shell falls away and Jesus actually looked like Joe Puka. Okay, and was walking around, and really Joe's not there. Joe's somewhere watching, and it's just Jesus walking on the inside of Joe's skin. How would that look different? How would that body think different, act different, respond, drive different? Chances are it might be a little bit different. I don't know that. But it could be different. And I would argue in my life, if that were true, if I truly said, my hands are off the steering wheel and you take control, I will live an absolutely different life. And so will you. And it's a liberating life. And it's the life that we were made for. So we are to let him live in our bodies. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about this. This letting him live in our bodies is to let his love well up and stream through us as the beat, pulse, and rhythm of our lives. You have a pulse, hopefully. Sometimes during 11 o'clock, 11:30 in church, I'm not always sure there is a pulse, and I'm sometimes afraid we're going to have to do a resurrection service for those that are sleeping and not texting each other during the service. However, really, this metaphor that this author uses is that the pulse, the beat, pulse, and rhythm of our lives is really about receiving God. If we don't do that, there is no pulse, there is no rhythm, there is no rhyme, there is no reason. But when that happens, the result is it connects us to ourselves, who we really are. It connects us to our neighbors. It connects us to everything on this planet. And sometimes we feel disconnected. Rose's testimony this morning was, man, I just feel alone. I'm surrounded by people all the time, but I feel disconnected. And that is part of where when I let the heartbeat of God, I receive his love, then that is a reality that I walk in all the time. And that's a reality that Jesus knew, right? You know, Father, I know who you are. They may not know. I may be alone with you, but I'm not alone. I'm never alone. The truth is, because we're his, we're not alone either. To love, which this author equates, to love is to live is to love. To love is to be seeking, fostering, and sustaining connections. So if we're receiving God's love, which is a choice. You can refuse it. You can walk out of here and just keep living the way that you are and know about God's love in your head. Or you can open your life for God to flood in so that he can flood out in the banks that he created rivers of living water, but we will be seeking, fostering, and sustaining connections with people who are different from us, people who disagree with us, people that don't like us, right? And when that happens, though, we're not seeking control. We're not seeking to dominate them. We're not seeking to power up on them. But we delight and care and have compassion for them. This is what God wants. He truly does want to be the air that you breathe. And he does want to be your heartbeat and the rhythm of your life so that you are continually infilled. That's pretty amazing. Now, what does that look like? Well, if I'm receiving the love of God and it's all about connections, then that means whoever, whenever, wherever, and however. So wherever you go, wherever you're at, whoever you meet, you're on call to love them. And you can say, but God, I'm tired. I don't have anything left in me. That's okay, because I'm not giving them me because I killed me and I'm letting it go. I'm receiving the love of God. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I have I can give. And what do I have to give? I have Jesus to give, right? If that's who I've been walking with and letting infill me all day today, when I come to the end of me at the end of the day, I'm not at the end of Jesus. And therefore, I can lean into him even in those moments where I'm just ready to pass out. That's pretty amazing. So learning to love God, ourselves, and others is a journey really back to God, who is the source of all love. One writer put it this way: it is this love of God that is there and was there before you ever sinned, and before we ever experience rejection, and that love is there even after all rejections have been received. Liana just testified, you know, there's kind of just felt a broken relationship, a rejection. You know what? God's love loved her before the foundation of the world, and it's all the way through the rejection and past the rejection on to the future. His love is never ending. So a passage I've been reading over and over again, and we've been reading it as a church. I'm just going to read it again. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. I don't have to conjure it up. I just have to receive it. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Are you alive this morning? This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We receive, it flows. It's not meant to be kept inside. Transformation happens through the process of following Jesus, allowing him to form us and reform us. Some of you, God has been forming. Some of you have been resisting God, and you need to be reformed. Because when we resist God's forming, we become deformed. Yes? It's true. And therefore, I could look in the mirror. I could look at some of you. Marty, you're looking pretty deformed today. Last year we had Ellie up here who did the pottery thing. Remember? The key is that we allow God, the master, to keep forming us into that vessel. We are his love. We bear his image. Let him form us, reform us, so that we can experience all the life that he has from us. And that's part of the metaphor of being born again. The whole idea of being born again, some of us may have accepted Christ at one point in our lives, but it sure looks like to the world either that we were still born spiritually, or that we never got out of the nursery that maybe spiritually we're still in the ICU. Instead of growing, running, participating, we're having all these wires and electrodes and transfusions come into us because we're not growing. We're not morphing. So I think the metaphor, when we are born again, we are born to grow, to change. God never comes into our life to leave us the way that we are. Once again, you know that? But are you making space to receive him so he can do the reforming? A couple other passages, just kind of nail this in before we end this morning. Luke chapter 10, verses 38-42. It's the story well known of Mary and Martha. And Martha's freaking out. She is trying to do Martha Stewart things. And she's ticked at Jesus because Jesus is not sending Mary in to help her. And Jesus just says, she has chosen the better thing. What's the better thing? To be with Jesus. She was sitting at his feet. In his presence, just being with him and listening to him. And if you want to know how to receive God's love, that's the best and only way that I know. Taking time to be with him. I mean, if that's one of the things that we all in the Duncan clan, because Dan Moeller stayed with us for a couple of days, is that for him, as soon as there was nobody around, he was going in to be in God's presence, to in a fresh way receive God's grace and love, so that it just blew out of him when he got out of his time of being alone with the Father. And isn't that how Jesus ministered? He would go and be alone with his Father and get his instructions, and then he'd go out and just turn the world upside down through healings and deliverance and forgiveness and all kinds of things. And it's out of intimacy, coming to know God personally, that God's power and transformation will not only rock your world, but begin to work through you to bring the change. You live in a world that needs change. You know it and you want it. You pray for it. You complain about it. And God says, you're my answer. But we can burn out because we're trying really, really, really hard to do God's work like Martha, when what we have to do before we do God's work is to be in God's presence. Otherwise, even though we're doing good things, we're doing works of the flesh. We're working out of our own strength, our own wisdom. And so there must be a time for obediently doing what God calls us to. However, before we do, we must be with Jesus. We must receive his love, be in his presence at his feet like Mary. She did choose what is better. So this is, you don't have to raise your hand. Do you just not do anything else, sit down or walk, shut yourself off to just be alone with God? If we're not doing this, we're not going to receive his power. We're not going to be changed. God's life and power is not going to work through us the way that it could. It's this intimacy with God, knowing God, because it's where we actually listen to God. Most of the time, even at church, we're talking to God and we're not listening. But if we want to get our marching orders, well then, be still and know that I am God. Even the people in the Old Testament knew this. So we've been called to follow Jesus. We've been invited to receive his love. And allowing that love to change us is also going to allow his love to push us out of our comfort zone. Can I just say, oftentimes we Christians, we don't even take 4 A's out in the world to take God's love with us because we feel so inadequate. Like, I'm not a perfect shining example. I am not a Billy Graham. I am not a whoever. And therefore, because we're comparing ourselves with somebody else, we don't realize that all I need is to receive God's love today, and I am precisely the instrument in his hand to bring transformation. Nothing's missing. How could it be missing? He lives inside me. Amen? So God is wanting to push us out of our comfort zone, this journey, because he is the way of love. He is the way to our Heavenly Father. And to come into our Father's presence inevitably leads the cycle of God pushing us out into the world so we can take his love to other people around us. Holy Spirit indwells all of us who have committed our lives to Christ so that you and I journey with Jesus. We are to share his life, do life with him. And we change. We morph. So here's some questions, and then I'll read two passages, and we'll call it a day. Because if you think about it, you can just say, okay, I can go do other things when we're done, or you can connect with the God of the universe. So here's the question. What difference does God's love for you make in your life and in your relationships? And for some of us, maybe the best that we can say is, I didn't kill somebody this week. Second question, is your love increasing? If it isn't, are you receiving and living in the love of God or merely one who knows about it? Is God's loving you moving you beyond your comfort zone of caring for people who are not only like you, but even people that you disagree with and who may hate you? Our love for God is reflected in our obedience to him. Are you becoming more obedient to God each day? This is how I can tell if I'm receiving God's love and that empowers me and that changes me. It's taking me from glory to glory. Then I will be following God, not necessarily because I'm trying harder, because I just want to be close to Jesus. And therefore, I will naturally do the things that the Father wants me to do. It's not about trying harder. It's walking and living and breathing the love of God. So those are the questions. I'm going to hand those out to you in just a few moments. God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God to accomplish what he wanted to, it was sending his son as love incarnate. He is sending us, since Christ has been taken to the right hand of the Father, to be that. So here are the last passages of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, Paul, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. This is the passage you read earlier. It's close. All right. You were in Colossians someplace? Okay. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. In other words, I know that he's there. I believe it. And if that's a step of faith that we make. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, if I'm not rooted and established in love, all bets are off. If I'm established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp. And this is what changes us as we receive it. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God is wanting to overflow us. So whatever you know about God, that's not even at the zero point. It's experiencing God where God wants to take us off the charts. Do you get that? Not just a little bit. He's not just wanting to he is wanting, Ephesians is all about God lavishing. He's a prodigal God after all, is he not? He's just wasteful in his love towards us. So that we can be extravagant to everybody that we come in contact with. That whole passage, we could keep going. He says, I became a servant of this gospel by God's grace given to me through the working of his power. He says, although, and some of us may feel this way, I am less than the least of all the Lord's people. This grace was given to me. The good news about Paul is if God can kill a murderous, selfish, a legalistic Pharisee to turn his world upside down, he can use you. I mean, that is part of the reason why he's writing this. To preach, what are we preaching? The boundless riches of Christ, that he's loved us extravagantly, prodigally, wastefully. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry. How do we do that? Well, now we're back to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not keeping track of wrong, right? It's not irritable. It's not easily angered. These are all things, when you look at people who don't view the Christian faith positively, those are characteristics that they don't mention about believers today. So how does the love of God take on skin? When we receive this love of God, this extravagant, rich presence, and let it flow from us. Man, and then we are set free. Completely, totally, absolutely. So, Mr. Nathaniel, can you come here? So here are the homework questions. He is going to pass them out. But I just want to encourage you because you and I have to start, even when we fail, living in the reality of who we are. Amen? You are, if you are an image bearer, you are God's love. Do you believe that? Yeah, okay. Well, you know, we have to remember, we are accepted, we are secure, we are significant, we are God's child, we are the friend of God, we have been justified, we are united with the Lord, we are one spirit with him, we've been brought into his presence, we've been bought with a price, we belong to God, we are a member of his body, we are a saint. We've been adopted as God's child. We have access to God through the Holy Spirit. We have been redeemed and forgiven of all of our sins. We are complete in Christ. Now, that's true, but the question is, when we walk out of here, are we going to live like that's true? Okay, see, at least one person today. Sean is going with me. You and me, Sean, we're doing this. Yes. Yes. You just did. This is Church in the City. So the people watching.
All right. Well, I just want to say that, you know, I work in a pharmacy. So I have some real difficult customers. And this one lady, she likes to yell at everybody. Well, over the last year, I kind of took her on myself. And I take care of all of her stuff. And at Christmas time last year, she couldn't. Her and her husband are both disabled, and they couldn't get out. So I always cook. So I had my husband drive two meals over to her and her husband, along with Christmas cookies. And then he took it to another lady that's homebound. And so after that, she said, "You realize I have to be nice to you for the rest of your life." And I said, "That's okay." And well, recently her husband, she had a stroke, and 3 days later her husband had a stroke. Well, her husband didn't survive. He passed. And so, you know, I was really sad for her. And so Friday, I'm getting upset. Friday she called and asked if I would bring her prescriptions to her after work. And I said, that'd be fine. You know, I would take them over to her. And then I called her, and she wasn't home. And I'm like, well, now what do I do? So I took them home with me, and I left my number, my cell number with her for her to call me. So she called and told me she was home, and she apologized for not being there. So I took her her meds, and I told her, you know, now she has my number. Anytime she needs anything, she can just call me, and I'll help her if it's something I can do to help her. But that's what I wanted to say, that every day at work, even not just with her, but with other customers, I'm always trying to help them and steer them to God and pray for them and all of that. So I just wanted to say that.
Faith has legs. Now, once again, can I just say, some of you some of us are reluctant to continually receive the love of God because we live under guilt. But if you are a child of God, it's false guilt because there is now, therefore, no condemnation. So the truth is, if we walk in our identity, and I could just run through, we could go through the whole New Testament of what's true about you. You are so loved that you just can't even comprehend. And if you begin to get just little glimpses of how unbelievable the love of God is, you are set free from others' condemnation, and you are free to love other people. And you're free to love yourself, because sometimes we don't love ourselves because we know the skeletons in our closet. But Jesus has taken those skeletons out. They're gone, right? You can't come out of the closet because there's nothing in there. Jesus has forgiven it, right? So, Lord, every part of this service, Lord, from the songs you led Chris to pick to the direction that you led Annette to speak those words to our time of prayer, to the testimonies. Lord, you want us to not do business with you status, our status quo, Lord. We know a fair amount about you, but Lord, you want us to know you. And this morning you come to each one of us and you invite us and you say, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And God, we stand on that promise. Lord, because you live, we live. Lord, because you indwell us, you said, rivers of living water, water that would bring life and healing and restoration, both to us and the people around us, will occur when we walk out this identity. And so, Lord, my prayer for all of us as a congregation, Lord, you want us to recognize why the world is not responding to the gospel, Lord, and it comes back because we sometimes haven't fully responded to the gospel either. And so, Lord, this week, this day, help us to just shut ourselves away, to just be with you, to just reflect on some of the things that are true about us, to revel in that. And that, Lord, as we come into your presence, Lord, we just give you permission and access to every part of our lives, so that we can be free and whole and empowered, Lord, to just bring you to the world. Because that's what we were made to do. So empower us as we leave this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. They're like a